Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Vasi Hontalis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. And our topic today is breaking through to the land of plenty as a solopreneur. And our guest today is Carolyn Bettino, founder of the Money Empowerment Project. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hi, thanks for having me, Vasi.
Oh, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today, which is so important, and to share you with our listeners. So I just want to give you all a little intro to Carolyn. Carolyn is also the author of The Land of Plenty, which is a soulpreneur's guide to finding joy, possibility, and abundance through money empowerment. And who doesn't want that, right? And, you know, one of the things that I just love about Carolyn and her work is her vision. And her vision and her work is about women rising up and really embracing their money power so they can transform not only their relationship to money, but also to change the world. And that's a big piece of what the Money Empowerment Project's about. And Carolyn, share with us a little bit more, you know, what is the Money Empowerment Project?
Yeah, so I've worked as a bookkeeper for about 7 years, and I started recognizing that there was this disconnect between people and their ability to really understand their numbers and feeling empowered around their money. And I went through this whole process myself, and I really decided that it was time that women entrepreneurs truly understood their relationship with money in a very holistic way. And that's really how the Money Empowerment Project was born, was this idea that as we learn about our money stories and how we interact with money, and we create those systems that support us, we're able to transform that relationship with money. And deep down to my core, the why around it is that I feel that women are very powerful when we understand our relationship to money, because the more money we have and the more comfortable we feel about having money and spending money with our peers and in the communities that we are part of, that is truly what changes the world. And so that's really what inspired me to create the Money Empowerment Project, is really to just get women more comfortable and more empowered around their own money.
That is so awesome, because that's one of the major stressors for many people.
Yes.
And as entrepreneurs too. And so I love how you used the word holistic when you were just sharing with us about that. So tell us what you mean about holistic in relationship to money.
Yeah, so what I've found is that I think as women, you know, we tend to just, I don't know, we either do one or the other. We either work on our mindset of something and we think, oh, if I just have the right mindset around making money, then I'll be able to make the money and I'll be able to, you know, manifest it or whatever it is. So that's one camp. And then the other camp is just, you know, doing what most entrepreneurs tend to do, is just, I'm doing my numbers because I have to file taxes, but I hate it because I hate, you know, I'm not good with money or whatever that story is. But when you combine the two is truly when you have that transformation, and that's really where you find the power. Because if you understand what's going on a much deeper level with your money, then all of a sudden it helps you create the systems and the processes that allow you to understand your numbers in a way that makes sense for you. And so that's really what I mean by holistic, is that you're taking – the practical pieces, which we all need to do, like the bookkeeping or like having a system of who owes you money and invoicing and all those things that we talk about when we talk about our books and, you know, finances, and combine it with why you might be resisting or why you might be self-sabotaging. And when you see those two together, all of a sudden it becomes very, very powerful, because then you can create a system and a support network for yourself that helps you be that much more in tune and allow money to come to you a lot easier. And isn't that what everybody wants, right?
Exactly. Yes. And that's how we can change not only our relationship with money, but our money story, as you talk about. So let's talk a little bit, because that's a real key piece of your book. And I'm going to quote something from your book that really jumped out at me. And it was, know that your money story is uniquely yours, and uncovering what makes you tick is priceless. So how about, what is a money story, and what is your money story?
Yeah. So a money story is, we all have money stories, and there's nothing wrong or bad or good or, you know, better or best about a money story. It just is what it is. And we all observe when we're growing up and interacting with people, not just when we're young, but, you know, your money story could be something that just happened last week as well. But it's how you learn to interact with money. And, you know, our culture teaches us so many different things about money, both good and bad. And so you hear things like, oh, that's just a rich snob, or, you know, those old sayings about she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth, or, you know, anything. It can really be anything. Money doesn't grow on trees. It could truly be anything. And what a money story does is it starts to shape the way that you interact with money, and you start to make assumptions without questioning them because you just think it's the way it is. So to give you an example, I'll tell you about my money story. So I was born in a very middle-class family in the middle of America, in the middle of the 1970s, and, you know, I wasn't rich, I wasn't poor. And my parents were both entrepreneurs. My mom worked a 9-to-5 job, but then she had a crafts on the side, and then my dad ran an electrical contracting business out of our basement. And so I grew up around two entrepreneurs, and I learned at a very, very young age that you had to work really hard to earn money. And, I mean, this story followed me my entire life. I mean, through when I was young all the way up through probably the first 20 years of my working career. And every time I was involved in any sort of negotiation for salary or anything, it was that I truly felt I had to work hard in order to earn money. And it would show up in how I priced myself. It would show up in how I negotiated raises. It would show up in everything that I did, and I didn't really recognize that it was happening until I started to really uncover that story. And once I started to uncover it, it was like, wow, oh my gosh, it all makes sense. And, you know, even today, now that I've uncovered where that came from, I still will find myself, you know, in those old patterns of doing things. But once you know what your money story is, and keep in mind, it could be several stories running all at one time, but you'll probably find some very common themes as you work through some of your money memories and money stories. But, you know, I'll still have it come up, but as you know what's going on, it's easier to see it, and it's easier to work through it and recognize it for what it is. And then put those systems into place to help support you through those, you know, money blocks that come up as a result of your money story.
Yeah, so that's the combination you were talking about earlier. It's not just the mindset and it's not just the systems. It's both those coming together. Yeah.
Correct.
And so you know, for entrepreneurs, this is always such a hot topic. And for, yeah, right? And we all know that personally.
I laugh because,
right?
I mean, it's a hot topic for everyone, yes.
Yeah, and true. I should have said especially, but yeah, it's a hot topic for everyone. So for someone that's listening and they're like, oh, okay, I have a money story. Maybe I haven't looked at it yet, but Carolyn's made me kind of curious. So what ideas or tips could you give people to start exploring their money story?
Yeah, so one of the best things to do is just do a brain dump. You know, give yourself, I don't know, start with 15 minutes and just start thinking through every single thing that you think or believe or remember about money. So in my book, I have tons and tons of questions to kind of get that those juices flowing. But really, you know, I go back to, like, what's your earliest memory of money? What do you remember your family talking about money? What are your beliefs about rich people? What are your beliefs about poor people? Are there mottos that you live by? You know, just start going through some of those. And then the other thing you can look at is, what do you consider money mistakes? Are there things about money that you feel guilty about or have fear around? Like, credit cards are one of those things that come up for a lot of people. And the other thing to look at is, where are your money wins? Where do you feel that you've been really successful? And, you know, that I just threw out, like, probably 10 years worth of work for somebody. So just, I say that as I'm laughing here, just take it baby steps. I mean, that is truly the key here, because it can get really overwhelming when you start to dive in, and it can be really triggering. You can get really emotional about it and be very judgmental towards yourself about it. And so when you start to dig into your money story, you know, do it with an open mind, do it in baby steps, and really be gentle with yourself, because even uncovering just a tiny little bit is going to be very helpful. And then once you have that brain dump and you feel, you know, somewhat complete, go back through and see, like, are there patterns that you start to notice when you're like, oh, wow, my family always said money doesn't grow on trees, and I always seem to think it's really hard to find money. And just see if there's things like that that just start popping up. And then once you've gone through that process, over the next few weeks, just start to notice when you have something come up, when you're starting to pay bills, like, do you start to feel fear, or do you start to have certain judgments, or maybe somebody says something to you that triggers you? Just start to pay attention to what your thought process is around money, because your own thought process is going to tell you more about money than anything else.
Yeah, this is such a clear process you've outlined, you know, the brain dump and then going through the themes and then just starting to notice your feelings and judgments and thought processes, because what you're really giving us is a way to become more aware of what the money story is that's been operating all along. We just haven't placed our time and our attention on it.
Right. And the other thing to note here is that your money stories really are a perception, and your perceptions and your story can change. And that's the part that's perhaps the most exciting, because if you feel that you're stuck in this, you know, pit of despair around money, or you feel like, you know, it is just what it is, that's not necessarily true. So that's the exciting part about this, is that you really do have a choice about how you interact with money, but it just takes some deliberate action in order to change the process.
Yes, and a commitment is the other thing that I heard that you do and what you've seen be successful with others. And I wrote down this when I was reading through your book, because it was just so simple. You said, it's your choice. You can rewrite the story.
Yeah.
And so for people that are committed, like, I don't like my money story, or I don't like the outcomes. I don't know what quite my money story is yet, but I don't like my feelings and thought processes and my stress around money. Oh, I have a choice, right? I can set an intention. I can go through this process that you outlined with us, and I can rewrite my story. Just because I've been operating from this doesn't mean I have to
stay in this story. And to me, that's
right.
like such a powerful play. Yeah, so say a little bit more about
yeah.
what you're seeing with people who've rewritten their stories, yourself or clients.
Yeah, and I just want to point out that, you know, when I talk about rewriting your story, it's not like you're going to say denounce everything that's happened before, because your money story is really kind of this moving force in your life. And you don't want to say, oh, I'm just, you know, everything that happened to me before was bad, because that's not necessarily true. It's just brought you to where you are. And so if you recognize that, then you're able to make some shifts. And so just going back to my story, what ended up happening for me is that when I recognized that I had to work really hard, I also started to recognize where I was sabotaging myself. And so when I was in the corporate world, I felt just like I couldn't get ahead. I was just stuck in this place. No matter which job I switched or whatever, I just kind of was stuck at this energetic income level. And when I started my business, I always knew that I was a really hard worker, and so I just did more of the same. And what ended up happening is that I created the same environment with my clients as I had with my corporate job. And as entrepreneurs, I think we always think, oh, I'm going to start my own business so I can make more money and have more freedom and all of that. And while that's, yes, that's true, I was recognizing the same patterns were happening in my business as they were in the corporate world. And so when I really started to dig in and realize, you know, what was going on, I realized that I wasn't very good at letting go of control, and I wasn't good at allowing other people to help me, and I wasn't willing to receive help from people because, again, I felt like I had to do all the work. I had to work hard in order for me to justify making money. And so once I started recognizing this, I was like, wow, isn't this interesting? And it did take a lot of work, I'm not going to lie, and I still work on this to this day. But, you know, I was able to hire some team members. I was able to learn how to trust them. I was able to really start to release that idea that I had to constantly work really, really hard to earn my money. And I started celebrating the fact when money came, or the fact, the what's a better word for that? The times when money came to me with ease. So celebration is also one of those key points, is that when you recognize something that you did well, make sure to stop and acknowledge it and celebrate it, because it just, you know, when you think about the law of attraction, it's going to attract more. And so, you know, and I've worked with lots and lots of people on their money story. And I think what I've seen transform the most is if you've never paid attention to your money before, whether it's because you think that you're not good with money, or maybe you don't think you're a big enough business owner to have a bookkeeper or even keep books, and you're fine just keeping your receipts in a drawer, or whatever your story is about that, when you really start to break down the numbers, that is actually where you're going to see some of the biggest impacts. And when you actually have the ability to break down the details of that. And so it's that combination, like I was saying, with understanding the story and putting that support structure on top. So for me, it was hiring the people. But then from there, I'd also really paid attention to, oh, if I hire people here and I am willing to give up this piece, this is how I can grow my business in a way that I don't burn out and that I don't feeling exhausted every single night and work every single weekend. Because I think that's really common as entrepreneurs as well, is that we overwork ourselves thinking it's the right thing to do. And sometimes it's not.
Yeah, it's not. And it's not sustainable. So that's the other piece that I'm hearing you say, is this is really about growing your business and yourself in a sustainable way.
Yeah,
and it's
definitely.
Yeah, and those two pieces, Carolyn, that you outlined, wow, I know those two so well. And I know that from with my clients, too, that letting go of control, that's one of the hardest things. And then
not willing to receive help from other people. Because there's this dichotomy there. Part of why we go into business is for the freedom and the flexibility and the independence. So those are kind of like the shadow side too, is we can go over yeah. too much into that independent, and I can do it all, and I can work hard, and I'm capable. But what I really get from what you're saying is that's not going to grow your business in a way that's going to lead to that bigger change, you know, that we're wanting yeah. to make in the world, right?
Definitely. And, you know, everybody's story is different. So somebody may not have that story of having to work hard, but I have yet to meet anybody that doesn't have a story of some kind or another. And so I think the importance is recognizing what your story is and how it's showing up, both positively and negatively, and then from there, taking some action and making some commitments of how you're going to support yourself so that that money story can be used for good in your mm-hmm. life versus impacting you negatively.
Yes, using your money story for good. I like that. That's awesome. And so if people want to learn more about you and the Money Empowerment Project, where can they find you?
Yeah, so my website's probably the best place. It's www.moneyempowermentproject.com.
Great. And if the listeners didn't catch that, the details will be in our show notes as well with that link. And tell me about some of the ways that you support clients, because you talked about being a bookkeeper and I know you work with people on their money story. So what are some ways that people could get support from you, Carolyn?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're interested in the Money Empowerment Project work that I do, there's a couple of ways that I support people. I have a money cleanse, which is a 21-day process that helps you walk through some of the things that we've been talking about. And it goes through your money story, and it goes through figuring out what systems are right for you and then taking action on those systems. So that's kind of like a DIY. I also do some live rounds around that. And then I also have a couple of VIP options where I work with people doing money mapping, which is where we explore your money story. And then we do, in the financial world, it would be called a cash flow projection, but really it's more of a action plan. So we map out where your money's coming from and how many people you want in each of your products or programs and when that money is going to come in. And then we also look at the expense side, and it's really coming from more of a manifesting energy than it is like a budget. So for people who are freaked out about the budget things or, you know, cash flow and all that stuff, you know, it's not that at all. But it's a really powerful tool because it really helps you lean into what is truly possible. And then from there, you can make some very powerful choices. And then, you know, and then, of course, I have some longer term options as well. And then the other thing that I do quite often for people, it's probably a bigger chunk of my business, is bookkeeping support. And a lot of times I end up working with people in both the Money Empowerment Project side and the bookkeeping side, because those two really obviously complement each other really well. And, you know, if you've never done bookkeeping before, it's one of those things that shines a light in the darkest caves, but it can be so incredibly empowering, because a lot of times what happens is that you have this idea of how much money you've lost or made, but you don't really have any facts to back it up. And so even if you're like, I just don't want to pay attention because I know it's really, really bad, you've probably made the story a lot worse than it is. So sometimes doing that, the initial setup of a bookkeeping system really helps you connect to your money. It gets you on the right track, so that way you're not freaking out at tax time going, oh my gosh, there's so much work to do. So that's probably the main way that I help people in their processes. But I also am able to help people really look at their overall system. Like, do you have a system to track who owes you money it's amazing how many entrepreneurs don't have that, which, you know, you focus so much on the sales, but then once you sold the product, you know, if somebody owes mm-hmm. you money, but you don't realize that they owe you, mm-hmm. then there's a huge disconnect. So it's some of those systems and processes as well that I help people make sure that you've got the right things in place so that it makes it easier instead of feeling like it's a huge chore.
Yeah, you really break things down, it sounds like, and at the same time you integrate those pieces, you know? And
yes.
I love what you said about, you know, really leaning into what's truly possible. And so, you know, here we are. This has been an intense year. And
yes,
so what advice or wisdom could you offer people who are really looking at leaning into what's truly possible? What's a way they can start doing that right now?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things with this year that I've noticed with both my bookkeeping clients and with the Money Empowerment Project clients is that sometimes things don't appear as they seem. And so, I mean, I don't want to discount how coronavirus has made this year very, very financially difficult for a lot of people. But there's also been a lot of opportunities with government funding and just kind of the way that the financial world is trying to really transform, which in my opinion, it really has needed to. And so when you think about what's possible, I want to challenge you to think outside of the box, because a lot of times you've been used to making money a certain way, but maybe there's other money right in front of your face that you're not seeing. So a really good example of this is that one of my clients owns a concert venue, and they obviously have no money coming in, but they did some spring cleaning and looked around and realized that they had 10 years worth of posters that had been signed by bands that came through, and they put them up for auction and raised tens of thousands of dollars to help them get through the shutdown. So it's things like that, you know, we all have these opportunities that we've never really taken the time to look at. But now it's one of those times that you can take a step back and go, oh, interesting. I thought about offering this product, but maybe I should offer this other product instead because it's more timely. So it's just kind of thinking outside of the box is probably my biggest tip that I would say.
Yeah, and I love that. To really ask ourselves a different question is what you're saying. You know, what's another
yeah.
way I could make money, or what's another way I could, you know, use what I already have in a different way? Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, that's a great story. Great example. Well,
yeah.
Can you believe, Carolyn, that we are approaching the top of our time here together? So
it goes
what
so
would
fast.
You, I know, right? We talked about that. Like, we could easily have done twice this. So, you know, what's a party? And you've offered so many great suggestions and ideas and important information for us to have. What's one thing you want to leave the listeners with?
Oh, man, that's such a hard question. There's so many. I would
just say
baby steps. I can't stress that enough. Just be gentle with yourself, and just any tiny little baby step that you can take in the right direction is going to make a big difference in the long run.
Yes, yes. And I had written down in your book, you said money breakthroughs happen in baby steps.
Yes.
So that's what you're really encouraging us to do, is the breakthroughs don't have to be this big effort working hard. It can be a series of baby steps.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that is great. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn, for being here with us today. It's been so great to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've loved it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's our show for today. And I'd like to say thank you to Carolyn Bettino for being our leading lady. And a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the United States and internationally. And we'll be back for another Women Lead radio show Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. This is my last show of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. I wanted to thank our wonderful founder and producer, Michelle Berquist, for this incredible opportunity. And I just want to leave everyone with a reminder to stay true to you and your dream by asking yourself this important question: what's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? Be the bold leader you were born to be and go for it.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.